Welcome to Elevation Church. Due to Hurricane Florence that came through the Carolinas this week, we weren't able to have church at many of our locations. We shared a special online experience this weekend, but today we wanted to share with you a message preached by Holly Furtick. Holly preached this message at Reflect 2018, which is an event for the ladies of Elevation Church. This message is centered around the subject of friendships. It's the kickoff message to a study that Holly has recently written called Building Friendships That Fit. You can get more information on how to purchase the study or how to join an e-group at elevationchurch.org. But right now, we're going to jump into the message from Holly during Reflect. Hope you guys enjoy. Are there any grateful ladies in the house tonight? Is there anyone expecting God to speak to them tonight? Clap your hands. As I was studying, I came across this psalm. It's Psalm 143, verse 6. It says, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul yearns for you like a parched land. And I was just wondering if anybody came in here tonight thirsty. You want to hear from God tonight. So let's do what the psalm says. Let's stretch out our hands to the Lord. And so, Lord, we come to you. And we are thirsty for you. We invite you into this place. We're excited. We're expecting to hear from you. We give our hearts to you, God, and we claim what James says, that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a great night so far. My goodness, thank you, worship team. It was amazing. I am so excited, and I don't know what it's like at the other campuses, but it sounds so good in here. I was thinking that the next time that the worship team does a live recording, you should just let women come. You guys sound awesome and you look great. Don't sit down yet. Help me welcome all of our campuses. Ladies here with Ballantyne, you're gonna have to help me out. Welcome UC, Matthews, Lake Norman, Riverwalk, Blakeney. Ladies, are you with me at Blakeney? Columbia, Melbourne, Toronto, Asheville, and all of the ladies that are joining us online with our eFam. Welcome to Reflect. Thank you for braving the weather. It's just so terrible here in Charlotte. Sun was shining most of the day. I think this has been our best Reflect so far. Yeah? Okay, while you're still clapping, will you help me thank our pastor, Pastor Steven? I was thinking of different things that we could thank you for. You know, I was thinking we could thank you for the basic standard, like having the amazing faith to start such a church that's reached so many people. And then I was thinking, like, you know, also thank you for bringing incredible messages that speak to our hearts every single week. You guys need to know that preparing a sermon is no joke, and this man does it every week, and it's so good every week. Okay, but this is really what I want you to help me thank Pastor Steven for. So I want us to all say it together. So everybody say, thank you, Pastor Steven.
Thank you, Pastor Steven.
For helping Holly with her sermon.
For helping Holly with her sermon.
If you live with the best coach in the world, you got to take advantage of it. All right. Just stay standing while we read our scripture. And then we will get to the preaching part. We're going to be in Luke 23, starting in verse 55. If you have a Bible or you can follow along on the screens, it says, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how the body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." So great. We serve a risen Savior, yeah? Okay, you guys made me lose my place. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. He said, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things, as women do, to the 11, no detail left behind, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who were with them who told this to the apostles. I want to talk to you tonight about your support system. As you take your seat, ask your neighbor, how strong is your support system? What do you think about when you hear the word support system or the phrase support system? I don't know. I mean, I guess if this was a men's conference, men don't have events, they have conferences. But if this was a men's conference, a man might be thinking about maybe bridges or buildings or maybe people. But I think of those things too. I'm sure you think of those things too. But I got to thinking about bras. Did you know? I'm sure you know because Oprah told us all of this, but 80% of women wear the wrong size bra. Ask the person next to you, do you still feel supported? It wasn't that long. All right. You know, one thing that I love about women's events is that we can talk about things that really matter from the stage, like bras, okay? I'm sorry, there are just a few men here tonight, and this part of the sermon may make you feel a little bit embarrassed, but I just couldn't stop thinking about bras. And I promise you, I had decided on my title for the message. I really wanted it to be called Support System, and I was thinking about bras, and I promise you, honest to God, I got this email in my inbox. It says, "Your support system just got better." And I don't know if you can see this, but if you need to reply, you reply to support@fabletics.com. I don't think they did that on purpose, but it's pretty funny. So I went to Fabletics. We have a store here in Charlotte. If you don't know what that is, it's like a, I don't know, it's kind of like a club, like a CD club, but for workout clothes. But then they also have a store. If you want to join, just put my name in the referral because I get $20 for every person that does it. So I went to Fabletics and I got some bras. Just a few. And I know I had to get different sizes and everything, but I know that I had kind of like an activity like this last year and I held up a bunch of ladies' things. I was thinking about, I could not talk about bras without holding a couple up. So sorry if it feels a little bit repetitive. I only preach once a year anyway. So I don't have that many tricks in my bag. I picked out a few to look at. I mean, they're all different colors and patterns. I like this one. I got the color blocking thing going on. Okay, this is the first one. No, that's not it. Where's the one I want? Okay, this is the one I want. Now, when I look at a bra like this, I think that there should be like an age limit for this. And I just want to read you what it says on the tag. It says light support. And then it says, a little mesh goes a long way. Then I had one that was more, this one's called the medium support, okay? And I don't think they really say anything special about it. Medium support sports bra. It's called the Kobe. I don't know. Anyway, there's that one. Okay, now this one's my favorite, okay? This one is called the Zoe High Impact Sports Bra. And what I love what it says in the description, it says, and an easy on and off zip closure in the front. Now, if you're not a woman, you're not gonna understand what I'm about to say about this bra. But if you have ever been sweaty and tried to take off a sports bra, a woman invented this bra. Okay, so while I clean up my mess, check out this little meme that I found. It's so cute. You can do it. You're awesome. Support bras. Okay. Tonight is all about friendship. If you haven't clued into that, you know, you probably weren't paying attention or maybe you got here late. But it's about friendship. It's about support. And I want you to leave here knowing that you were never intended to go through this life alone. God wants every one of us to have thriving, healthy, life-giving relationships. You should have an arsenal of friends that you can pull out to provide the support that you need for whatever situation that you're in. And I want to ask you tonight, what is your support system like? We've all heard, it's on all everybody's newsfeed, whether you read BuzzFeed or Flipboard or Apple or whatever, we've all heard that loneliness has reached epic proportions, that it's actually causing a health epidemic. And I'm not just talking about depression and anxiety and suicide, which are at all-time highs. I'm talking about cardiovascular problems and sleep deprivation and premature deaths are being linked directly to loneliness. And what's strange about this, what's blows my mind is that we live in a world where communication has never been easier. But it's like the more communication we got, the less connection that we got. And our connection has just become so complicated. So tonight, I want you to take a look at your support system. The reason that this is so important is because, and hear me on this, because this is so important. If you're taking notes, this is maybe one little thing you might want to write down. While we may not get to choose what we go through in life, we do get to choose who we go through it with. Life is not a game of tennis. I don't know if any of you watch tennis or play tennis. I attempt to play tennis. I'm not good at all. I'm on this little team and we play Queen City League. I don't know if anybody ever plays Queen City League. You've probably never played me because there's 10 divisions, division one all the way through 10, one being the worst, the best, one's the best, 10's the worst. I'm in division 10. So I'm just out there for the fun of it and the sunshine and anyway, but I like to watch tennis. And even if you don't watch tennis, I'm sure that in your news feed this week, you heard about Serena's match at the US Open. Now, I'm not gonna share my opinion about Serena, except that I think that she is the greatest women's tennis player to have ever played the game. So that's my two cents about that. But in the championship match, Serena received 3 penalties, and there's a lot of controversy going on about these penalties, but I just want to talk to you about the first penalty that she received, because the first penalty that she received was for illegal coaching. And so you see, in tennis, it is actually against the rules to be coached during a tennis match. It is all up to you or to Serena. So if you're a tennis player, let's just imagine that you're Serena, okay? You have to encourage yourself. You have to correct yourself. You have to read your opponent all by yourself. And I think that this is the mental model that some of us just go through life with. Something happens to us, something you didn't expect. Maybe your child is getting in trouble at school, or maybe your marriage is beginning to struggle, or maybe you even lost your job. And often our immediate response is, nobody needs to know. I need to keep this a secret. And we fight alone, thinking that if I admit that I need help, then everybody's going to think less of me. I mean, what are people going to think of me? You were not meant to be Serena. I mean, thank goodness, there's only one Serena, okay? You're not meant to be like her. You are meant to be like a fighter. And you know what fighters have? They have a corner. So they're out there and they're throwing their punches and their kicks, depending on what kind of fighter you are. I live in a house with a lot of boys, so we watch MMA and the bloody, you know, stuff and all that. But when the bell rings, the fighter goes to their corner. And in your corner, you have someone who's dressing your wounds, your cuts and your blood and your bruises and everything. And you have someone who's giving you feedback and saying, oh, you know, oh, like in, was it Rocky where they were like, he's drinking water? Was that the one they told him to punch him in the stomach? I don't know, one of those fighter movies that people were watching. Am I losing them with the fighting illustration? Okay. You are not meant to do this alone. You are meant to have a corner that you can go back to and then go back out and fight your fight. Okay, let's get back to Mary Magdalene and her friends. I have spent the last several months wondering about these women that were at the resurrection. And then I began to ask my husband some questions about them, and I began to study them, and he gave me this, he has this seminary professor that he emails and asks questions to, and so he gave me, the poor man, he gave me his email address, so I kept asking him all these questions about these women, because it can get very confusing. If you combine all of the accounts together, you find this girl gang made up of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. And there's also maybe a few others that could have been in this group whose names weren't mentioned. But I just was wondering, who were these women? And why were they the ones at the tomb? And why were they the ones that the angel came to first? Were they there together by chance? Or were they there together by choice? And I know that this is a scripture about the resurrection of Christ, but all four of the Gospels give us details about these women. And I think that there's some really important lessons that we can learn from them tonight. Who are you going through life with? Are you going through it with the wrong people? Are you going through it alone? Do you have the support system to get you through a tough time? Because we're all either, this is not anything I've ever made up, of course. I've heard a lot of preachers say this, you know, you're either going into a storm or you're in a storm or you're coming out of one, right? So trouble is a part of life. And it doesn't matter if you are 60 years old and you've basically just given up on having friendship. It doesn't matter if you've been hurt by someone before and you're scared to put yourself out there again. God has given us many beautiful gifts in this life. And one of them is the gift of friendship. Yes. Friendship is messy. I mean, this is women that we're talking about, okay? It's messy. It's complicated. But if you're going at it alone and you feel like something is missing, that's because it is. God is our provider. And yes, he meets our every need. But have you ever stopped to think about all the ways that he has provided for you through someone else? Whether it was encouragement, resources, a meal, a listening ear, a wise word, somebody who says to you, you know, I had a friend that told me that I needed to stop breastfeeding one of my children and just go straight to the bottle. I needed to hear that, okay? I wasn't making enough milk. Look at me, okay? I just stood up here and talked about bras. Anyway, tonight, I want to challenge you to examine your support system. And so I'm gonna give you a framework, three characteristics of a solid support system. And the first one is that your support system must be based on the right thing. Look with me at Luke 23:55. Let's see, I wanna read it to you from my iPad because I highlighted exactly what I wanted to read. So Luke 23:55 says, "The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it." The resurrection takes place in Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified. But these women were from, if you read the verse, they had come from Galilee. When you read the Bible, sometimes it's really easy to skip over some of the geography and stuff, but it brings so much light when you actually find out, okay, wait, where are they? Jerusalem. Where were they from? Galilee. Well, what does that mean? I looked it up for you on Google, okay? Galilee is 70 miles from Jerusalem. And one little article that I read, blog or something somebody wrote, I don't even know if this is true, but I read it on the internet. It said that a determined person could get from Galilee to Jerusalem in 6 days, okay? So these women, they were serious followers of Jesus. But the thing about them was that they were brought together by Jesus. They were so into Jesus that they hopped on a week-long hiking trip to follow him to Jerusalem and hear him teach. And these are women. And maybe that's why the disciples included them in this account, because they were impressed that these women, you know, went on this trip. I don't know. I'm just speculating there. When you look at your support system, you can look at every person in your life and you can identify one thing that brought you together. They could be your sorority sister. They could be somebody that you have kids at the same school with, or someone you take a yoga class together with. All of these factors are great things. We all have some kind of connection. But if you want to have a support system that's going to help you on your faith journey, you're going to have to base it on the right thing. And I'm not necessarily talking about church, although church is a great place to start because we all kind of have a common goal and we all kind of have a common idea of where we're going in life. But what I'm really trying to get you to think about is that you need to surround yourself with people who are like-minded, who are growing in their relationship with God. Not perfect, no perfect people allowed, but people who will help you find the answers that you need from the right sources, right? Not only does your support system, though, need to be based on the right thing, it needs to be formed before your crisis. These ladies did not just meet up on this journey to Jerusalem. They had been together for a while, okay? Look back with me at Luke chapter 8. So we were in Luke 23, and now we're going to go back to Luke chapter 8. In verse 1, it says, "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them meaning Jesus and the disciples, they were helping to support them out of their own means. When Luke first introduces us to these ladies, they're in Galilee, and he tells us that what brought them together was that Jesus had healed them. That's what they had in common, and that's what we have in common in this room. They were women of means. They were joined together and they were supporting Jesus's ministry, but they were doing life together. And at this point, when they're following Jesus and supporting his ministry, they didn't know how dark it was going to get. I mean, Jesus told them that he was going to be crucified, but nobody really understood what that meant when he said that. They were just following and supporting the one who had touched them. So when we catch up with them later in Luke 23, they're on a trip that has taken a terrible turn, a horrific turn, because Jesus is dead. Their Savior has just been crucified on the cross, which was a penalty that was reserved for the worst criminals. So here they are. Think about these women. They're in a foreign city. They're heartbroken, but where? What are they? They're still together. Luke 23:55. We've already read it, but let's read it one more time. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, because women are not afraid to get up early in the morning. Somebody's got to do it, right? Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They stayed together because they had been together. It was a natural thing. Of course they're going to stay together. But you know what? I think women instinctively band together in times of crisis. Where were the disciples in all of this? Peter was here and John was there. The disciples had disbanded, but the women were together. That's right. Have you ever noticed that when you're together with people that you trust, that you can experience this collective courage and this collective faith? You can essentially like borrow faith from someone else. These women could have been, should have been, probably, in fact, were fearing for their lives. They could have been on their way back to Galilee by now, thinking, well, they killed Jesus. They're probably going to come after his followers next. But there was a job that needed to be done. And so these women kicked into Operation Give Jesus a Proper Burial mode. Now, I'm not trying to make light of this situation, but I just started imagining these women, and I started thinking about what we do, what we still do today when there's a crisis. And so, you know, I was just imagining that maybe Mary Magdalene started a prayer chain. And then I was thinking maybe Joanna created a sign-up genius and for meals and such. And then Salome, she sold doTERRA, so she was in charge of the spices. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of James, she was the one in charge of taking notes of where the body was buried. Because remember, the text told us that they went and they saw where the body was buried because they were coming back there the next day. They were going to take care of Jesus. Have you ever been around a group of women who rallied during a crisis? It is a beautiful sight to behold. People can make fun of casseroles all they want, but when there's a crisis, we eat them. And on Thanksgiving, too. When my father-in-law was passing away and he was in the final hours of his life, I will never forget coming out of his bedroom and into the kitchen that was so full of food that you couldn't put anything down on the counters. And I didn't even know where my children were, but I knew that they were being well taken care of. And I will never forget, I walked out onto the front porch and my friend Nicole was just sitting there just in case I needed anything. She was just sitting there. To this day, I don't even know where her kids were. She has three kids of her own, but she was sitting there just in case I needed anything. Have you ever received the support of a rallying group of women? If you have, you never forget it. You never forget it. These women were devastated. They were grieving. But if there is one thing that we know how to do well in a crisis, it is get crap done. We may be sad, but we're going to get this stuff done. And they were not about to go back to Galilee without knowing that their Savior had been buried properly, and they were going to do it together, even if they had to risk their lives. And guess who shows up when they were together? Look at Luke 24. We were in verse 2. It says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified on the third day, and raised again. Then they remembered his words. I had this thought while I was preparing for this message. All my life, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. I was telling somebody the other day, I never really played any sports. And they said, well, what did you do? I said, I don't know, I went to church. And we were there all the time. It was like Tuesday night visitation, Wednesday night supper, and Sunday night, I don't know. We were at church all the time. And growing up, I thought that there were two ways that God could speak to you. One was if you were alone and you were either praying or reading your Bible. And two was if you were listening to a sermon. But you know, as I have grown in my faith and as I have began to notice God all around me in the small parts of my day, I realize that if I surround myself with the right people, God can speak to me through them. Now, this is not like a, like, don't go all crazy on this. This is not like a, Holly, I have a word from the Lord for you. Usually that doesn't come from a friend. Usually that just comes from like some random person, okay? I'm talking about when my friends got around me one day and we were in a meeting and they started saying, Holly, you need to write a Bible study for the women of our church about being a godly wife. That was God speaking to me through them. When I was talking to a friend one time and over a crying baby who told me that I was a good mom, that's God speaking to me through my friend. When a friend told me not to give up, or a friend who was just there, physically present, listening to me process through a very difficult situation. If you don't think that that's God in all of those times in your life, you've got God all wrong. These women were not reading their Bible and praying when the angel appeared to them. They were together doing something. They were there. And the angel asked them a question. I think this is such an interesting question. The angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? This got me thinking about dead places in our friendships. Places where we can go that harm our relationships rather than help them. One of those dead places is when we compare. Comparison is a funny thing because it comes in two ways. Because you know, you can think I don't compare, but you might be comparing. Let me explain this, okay? So maybe you're on social media. Maybe you don't have social media, but I'm assuming most of you do. And you're scrolling through and you see one of your friends and she makes these beautiful lunches and those little lunch boxes that like have all the little compartments. And you think, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible mom because I don't do the little grapes and crackers thing. In all honesty, I'm just gonna tell you guys, I tried that, the little box thing, and we kept forgetting about the boxes and they would stay in my kids' backpacks and they get so disgusting and moldy. Oh, that was not for me. We're more of like a brown bag kind of family. We have lunch boxes too, but the one side of comparison is I'm not as good as her, right? But the other side of comparison is, you know, have you ever thought, well, at least I don't feed my kids fast food. I mean, we go to Chick-fil-A in a pinch, but we would never go to McDonald's. Since I'm talking about comparison, I have to tell you a funny story. It doesn't really have that much to do with anything, but anyway, I was working out on my Peloton bike that my husband got me for Christmas. And if you don't know what a Peloton bike is, it's basically a death machine for your home. And also known as a stationary bike with this like cool like monitor where you can actually take spin classes. And so on this particular day, I was really going for it. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you, there are a lot of days that I get on there and I don't exactly do what the instructor tells me to do. You know, she says, turn it up, and I'm like, I'm not ready. And but this day, I was trying to beat my best, you know? And so the instructor had told me to add one or two to my resistance so many times that my legs are just like churning through mud, okay? And I did not look pretty. I did not look like this when I was on my bike, okay? I paid someone to do my makeup tonight, just so you know. I was pouring sweat, and I don't really even sweat that much. I was pouring sweat, and my glasses were like, kept sliding down my nose because I'm like hunched over, you know, and I keep pushing my glasses up. And my heart rate, this is the truth. My heart rate was 177, which I think is like just shy of a heart attack. And so, of course, the instructor has barely broken a sweat. And she's smiling. It's like her fourth class that she's taught of the day. And so Graham comes up. Graham's my 10-year-old son. And I'm just dying. And Graham looks at the monitor, and he looks at me, and he says, why don't you look like her? Because comparison is a dead place, and I am not a spin instructor. compare. And then that can sometimes lead us to compete. Have you ever been around someone whose story is always better or worse than yours? I had lunch with a friend the other day who has been through a really tough separation with her husband. And she said that the worst thing throughout her separation was when people would try to comfort her by telling them how much worse their situation was than hers. We compare and we compete. And then sometimes we get so tired of playing this game that we just check out. Now, this is a really dead place to be. I mean, I know dead is dead, but checking out is when you've just given up. Maybe you were betrayed by a friend. You told her something in confidence and it got back to you. Or maybe you were let down just one too many times from some of the women in your life and you just decided, I've been hurt enough and well, you know what? I have my husband and he will just have to be good enough. Or maybe I'll just throw myself into my work or to my kids. And then we wonder why we're lonely. Do we have to risk having relationships with other, when we have relationships with other women? Absolutely we do. Could we get hurt? Absolutely, you could get hurt. But if you build your support system right, the reward is so much greater than the risk. The other dead place that is so dangerous is when we begin to compose. We live in a world where it has never been more easy to pretend that everything is okay. And we can even create an entire persona that no one ever has to know the truth. No one ever has to know that I have an anger issue. No one ever has to know that I have an eating disorder. Or no one ever has to know that my marriage is falling apart. No, this is not how it has to be. We do not have to compose because your support system must be founded on honesty. If you're gonna build this thing right, you've gotta build it on honesty. Look at these verses in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, it says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Did you catch that? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. How can I support you through your struggle with infertility if I don't even know that you're wanting to have a baby, that you're trying to have a baby? How can I pray for you in your marriage if you're always acting like it's perfect? And you know what? Honesty isn't just about the things that are going wrong in your life, but sometimes if you don't share, like if something good happens, so how could I even celebrate with you if your child has a good behavior report if I didn't know that he was even not doing good in school? My friend Julie says, I love this line. She says, "Shame, like mold, grows in the dark." When you bring your, thank you. When you bring your life into the light with the right people, I guarantee you that you will not only find love, but you will find hope and you will find help and you will find fellowship. If you surround yourself with the right people, your relationships will not only deepen with honesty, they'll grow stronger. But you see, the enemy wants you to think that it will make you look weak. And he wants you to think that if you're honest, it's going to weaken your relationships. But it's not true. A couple weeks ago, I was talking with one of my friends who has been walking through a difficult season in her marriage for over a year. And we were reflecting on how timely her relationship was with this other girl. Let's call the other girl Lisa. So Lisa had been through a similar experience, and Lisa had opened up to her e-group and shared about a struggle that she and her husband were going through. This was 18 months before my friend went through her struggle. And she told me that when she received that news on that day, you know that day, like if you live long enough, everyone will have that day. That day they got the call from the doctor, or that day when their husband confessed to them, or that day when you lost your job. Okay, so she was in that, on that day. And she said, "I don't know what I would have done or who I would have called if Lisa hadn't shared her story in our group." Do you see? And it was 18 months later that she remembered, this is the person that I need to talk to. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, bring it out into the light. Together, these women had courage. Together, they were able to remember. The angel said to them, remember what he said to them. Remember what he said to you. Together, they were able to remember the words that God had spoken to them. We are stronger together. The work that God wants to do in your life in this season is directly connected to the people who are in your life. So how strong is your support system? That's my question to you tonight.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there are just a couple things I'd love for you to do. Number one, subscribe to our show. That way, the most recent episode will always be in your feed, waiting for you, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. And I'll see you next time on the Elevation Podcast.